you know we can do the impossible. Shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio Broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Moses says, our tradition doesn't allow me to send women, so I'm sending 12 men. I figure they should be strong enough. And God said something to me while I was reading this for today. He said, they went over there and they looked at the Amalekite. They looked at the Canaanite. They looked at the Hittite. They looked at the Amorite. And their natural reasoning formed an opinion that was not substantiated by the facts. They were not in agreement with God. They had formed a symphony with each other, but not with the kingdom. My question would be, what made them think the Hittites were strong enough to keep them out when the Egyptians were not strong enough to keep them in? How dare we tell God that he cannot keep us when he took us from the devil? God did not walk up to the devil and say, please, Mr. Devil, let Eric go. Jesus executed a raid like the Israelis in Uganda when they took all those Jewish people hostage. The Israelis dedicated themselves to Operation Thunderbolt and flew into Uganda, stormed the airport terminal, and took their people out. Jesus did not walk over passively and say, Mr. Devil, will you please let those go whose names are written in the book of life? No! The Bible boldly declares that Jesus conquered the devil. By the time Jesus said, it is finished, the devil was defeated. When Jesus went to hell to let the righteous go, there was no resistance. Satan had been defeated. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, if he is defeated, then why is he able to bind you? Because you willingly disbelieve. You are not walking in faith. You're walking in assumption. You believe that your gene pool can hold you in bondage. So you continue to say, well, this was in my family, and my grandmother suffered from it, and my grandfather suffered from it. But what did God say about your gene pool? If any is in Christ, he is a new creature. While you may have the genetic ability, you now have the spiritual capability to resist what the devil is throwing. So stop making excuses. Believe what God says about you. Let me go into this passage. I feel weird. When God accosts me at 35,000 feet, flying home, and says to me, why is it that my people won't believe me, but they believe every natural person that speaks? I've learned not to answer God at 35,000 feet. I wait till we land, just in case he gets mad. I don't want to have Jonah's experience in the clouds. I'll take my chances in the water because I can swim. If you go to Numbers chapter 14, oh Lord, there are things I want to show you. Time gets away from us. But oh Lord, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Watch. Where'd I tell you to go? All right, go to Exodus 3. Watch this, because you need to see this. Exodus 3 is the promise, verse 17. I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. I'm bringing you up out of the trouble. I'm bringing you up. Notice, where is he bringing you? Where is he bringing you? Where is he bringing you? There too. Where is he bringing you? He never, never tries to bring you out while you're down. God don't deliver you when you don't have a praise in your mouth. Paul and Silas were locked in jail. They sang, then they were delivered. You're waiting for God to deliver you before you sing. But the scripture is teaching you should sing before you come out. First you gotta go, then you'll come. First you gotta go, then you'll go. So when you go, you're telling God, I believe. The devil wants you to stay and he wants you to stay and in. God wants to bring you and then, Lord, have mercy. If you believe, watch this. Ephesians says, I'm seated in heavenly places. That means it's a position. If you are seated in heavenly places, then what must come of you is praise. Let me put it to you like this. You've had a long day. You had a difficult day at work. You've been surrounded by idiocy, lunacy, and narcissism at its finest. You are just about done, but you got to take the bus home or the subway home. You got a long wait until that particular conveyance gets to you. By the time the bus comes, your feet are hurting. They're sore because you chose to be stylish rather than practical. So they're squeezing your bunion, and they're hurting, and they're hurting, and they're hurting. And what do you say as the bus approaches? I hope I get a seat. Lord have mercy. When the bus comes, your immediate vision shows people standing. You lose heart. You become discouraged because you say, I'm going to have to. However, when the bus stops, somebody else that was on the bus has gotten up so that and positioned themselves so you can come on and take their seat. When you sit down, there is a relief that goes over your entire body because you are sitting in a seat that was occupied by somebody else. Paul said, you and I are not strangers to blessing. We are sitting where Abraham sat. We are sitting where Noah sat. We are sitting where the righteous. There is joy when you see you have a seat. If you don't catch yourself, you're going to do a dance on the bus. Somebody say, why are you dancing? I got a seat. Well, if you're born again, you got a seat in the presence of God, seated in heavenly places. Don't lose your praise. Because your visual position may have changed. But my spiritual position is I have a seat. I got a seat. Tell somebody I got a seat. I don't care who comes to Bethel. I don't care who comes to minister. I always got a seat. I got a seat. Watch this. It don't even have a name on it. If the visiting preacher comes, one of these assistants will say, here, you sit here. That's the bishop's seat. But you wouldn't know it because it don't have a name on it. Lord, have mercy. You don't have to worry about ever losing your seat. Don't worry about the fact that you don't have any positions in church. You got a seat with your name on it. That means God has a place for you. You don't have to worry about losing your place because you don't have a title. God's got a place for you. I got a seat. And the seatbelt is named faith. Faith straps me in. The devil tries to push me out my seat. You hit turbulence. I hit turbulence coming over, I don't know, I think it was Nebraska, he said. I hit turbulence coming over. We were flying at 37,000 feet. I hit turbulence. And the first thing he does when turbulence comes is puts on the sign, fasten your seatbelt. Tell your neighbor, fasten your seatbelt. Tell somebody a storm is about to come. Listen, let the storm come, but fasten your seatbelt. And what do they say? Stay in your seat. Stay in your seat. Don't leave your church when trouble comes. Stay in your seat. Don't leave the Lord when trouble comes. Stay in your seat. Let your praise be louder. Listen, I've hit some turbulence flying that has turned atheists into believers. They'll sit in the chair next to me and they'll say, Lord, have mercy. And I'm thinking, a few minutes ago, you were telling me there is no God. Trouble makes you believe. So if trouble makes the sinner believe, what ought it do for us? It ought to make us praise because we already believe. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Not even a plane crash. For God will only let the plane fall so far. He lets it fall enough to make sure. But hold it. Y'all don't know me. You got to know me. Because when the plane hits turbulence, I take my belt off. I unhook mine. Everybody else is all huddled down. I unhook mine. There shall no evil befall me, nor any plague come nigh my dwelling. And I know some of you going, you're tempting God. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Say, how you know you're going to make it? Because he already told me what to do when I get there. He wouldn't tell me what to do when I get there if he didn't know I was going to be there. Now, you don't have to do what I do because you don't have my faith. I believe my God can do the incredible, the awesome. I believe my God can do stuff that nobody else can do. I believe my God can make a broken womb have a baby. I believe my God can give you a job when nobody else is getting a job. My God can heal your cancer in stage 4. My God can bless and bring home your hard-headed children. My God can do everything.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
07116P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Bethel Christian Academy of Wincote has begun open enrollment for the 2016-2017 school year. Affiliated with the Association of Christian Schools International, this Christ-centered academy prepares children, grades K through 5, for educational excellence. Bethel Christian Academy of Wincote provides a Christ-centered curriculum, a state-of-the-art mobile computer lab, physical education, a STEAM focus on science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, music and interactive Spanish classes, as well as before and after school care, and much, much more. The Academy also offers affordable tuition and payment plans, and a 10% discount for all Bethel Deliverance International Church members. To enroll your child or for additional information, call 215-885-2585. Bethel Christian Academy of Wincote, investing in lives today, ensuring bright futures tomorrow.